Hello and welcome to Cavaganza's Live on this continuing Easter. Easter week, the octave of Easter. Happy Easter to you. Happy Easter to all of yours. I hope it is a happy Easter. I know it's a strange time, but we'll try to be good company. And we've got some really good company for you today. 2 hours with our guests. And we're calling this 2 hours of Ask Anything of a Bishop and a Scientist. If you've always been like, I wish I could get a bishop and a scientist in a room together and ask them anything, this is your opportunity. Our guests are Bishop Joseph Strickland, the Bishop of Tyler, Texas. He was ordained to the priesthood for the Diocese of Dallas in 1985. In 2012, was chosen by Pope Benedict XVI as the fourth bishop of the Diocese of Tyler. And as a bishop, he's the founder of the St. Philip Institute of Catechesis and Evangelization, which has the mission of teaching the Catholic faith with the fervor of the first century Christians, with truth, goodness, and beauty, and with reverence for the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and for all the seasons of life. Bishop Strickland, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And joining Bishop Strickland is our other guest, Dr. Stacy Drasenko, scientist and theologian, the author of Particles of Faith, a speaker with us here at Catholic Answers, an extraordinary person. And now, as if her resume wasn't enough, she's the executive director of the St. Philip Institute. Hi, Dr. Stacy.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Well, thank you for both of you for joining us from your quarantine. How's your quarantine been going? You been all right?
Yeah, we're okay.
Yeah.
It's a nice, beautiful day here, and so it's a great place to be quarantined if you have to be quarantined.
Yep. We live this way in upstate New York for 5 years, so we're like fish back in the water again.
Wait, the Trasenko's family lived what? Quarantine for years? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, before we moved to Texas in 2017, we lived in the Adirondacks for 5 years in the hill country.
Oh, so you're used to kind of...
Never left home. Yeah.
Yeah, she had a basement full of canned goods and a whole lot of ammunition. And
yeah,
she was just one of those people.
I did. Had a shotgun.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear everyone was safe and sound there. And now you're back in Texas, where, as far as we know here in California, everyone in Texas has a shotgun. It might even be the law that you have to have a shotgun in Texas. That's what
you have a shotgun?
No, I don't. But I grew up with one. So we had shotguns at home. I just don't have one now.
Our number here is 888-318-7884. Usually on Thursdays we do open forum, so you can think of it as open forum, but you get Dr. Stacy Drasenkos and Bishop Joseph Strickland, and you can ask them whatever you like about the Catholic faith, about the intersection of faith and science, about the condition of the church today. 888-318-7884 is that number. Now, Bishop, are you feeling less busy now because you're... I'm sure you're still celebrating liturgies, but it must be much on a much smaller scale.
Yes, it is different, but it's interesting. I wouldn't say it's less busy.
Okay.
It's certainly I'm not traveling much. I have very little need for gas in my car because my house at the cathedral is about 3 miles from the office here. So it's pretty much office, cathedral. But there it's interesting because everything's been canceled, but my days are filled with, I do have thankfully a little extra time for prayer. Not as much reading time as I would like, but some of that mainly just trying to keep, the deluge of emails is probably bigger because everybody's at their desk emailing. But it's been a strange time. As I've said to a number of people, let's say this is Thursday. It feels like Wednesday. It feels like Sunday. It feels like Saturday. Every day's the same,
right?
Which gets a little old, but that's where we are.
So if I may ask you before we go to calls and the lines are starting to fill up, but you're welcome to call 888-318-7884 if you have a question for Bishop Strickland or for Dr. Stacy Drasenkos. I just want to ask you real quickly about the St. Philip Institute, of which Stacy is executive director. Why did you found the Institute? What is this about teaching with the fervor of first century Christians?
Well, in my experience growing up here in East Texas and then as a priest for years and now as a bishop for 7.5 years, I guess about 4 years into it, it just really became very clear to me that so many people were either very lukewarm about their Catholic faith or leaving the church. I mean, you run into people here in East Texas constantly, and dressed as a bishop especially, it sort of evokes questions and comments. I couldn't tell you, not so much real recently, because I don't see very many people, but a typical day, you would almost go through any day getting gas in the grocery store, just any time to have sort of a light conversation with people. And they would say, oh, I grew up Catholic, or, oh, I used to be Catholic, or, oh, I went to Catholic school. And, you know, it's just so many people were leaving the Catholic faith or not really practicing it with any sort of love and fervor. So I said, we've got to teach people what this treasure really is. And so it sort of evolved from there. Actually, the idea of needing an institute was first. And then I said, well, I've got to have some sort of guide for this institute. So with a lot of support from priests and others in the diocese, I worked through what is now the Constitution on Teaching that we use as a roadmap for what the institute's trying to do.
And Stacy, you're the executive director. Where are you as far as an institute? And what is it that you hope to accomplish as executive director of the institute that the bishop founded?
Well, our mission is really to fulfill the Constitution. We're to implement it. I've gone through Bishop's Constitution that constituted the Institute and turned all the verbs into to do things that we're going to do. But the air we breathe at the Institute is to teach the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of people are trying to do that, but there's a lot of people that don't know the Catholic faith, even Catholics, especially Catholics. And so we specifically address all seasons of life. And we think about ways to take the shining eternal truths and bring them down in a real way. And my background as a chemist is helpful there, I think, because I've walked both sides of the fence, like radical materialism, scientism, messed upism, whatever you want to call it, to embracing fully Catholicism and the truths of Jesus Christ. So I can sympathize with people on both sides. I also grew up here in Texas, as did Bishop. So I know the language of the Texans, and I know what it's like to grow up in the Bible Belt. So I understand that Protestants are our brothers and sisters. They literally are my brothers and sisters, and that they love Jesus. And we're just trying to say, hey, if y'all love Jesus, come on to Mass and be with him. Don't just talk to him long distance in your Protestant celebrations. Come to the real presence and be in his presence.
And really with the Institute, it's the mandate that I have been guided by, and also the Institute staff and the Constitution. My effort is the 33 counties that make up the Diocese of Tyler. That's our focus. And I guess the way Dr. Stacy and I have talked about is certainly we're glad for other people, Catholic or not, to listen in, but it's my responsibility, and really broader than just the Catholics. We have about 1.5 million people in this rural corner of East Texas, 33 counties. And I try to remind myself and remind our staff in the Institute and otherwise that we're here to serve the truth and share the truth with this whole culture in East Texas. Thankfully, a lot of the evangelical Protestants that surround us, as Dr. Stacy said, they love Jesus. We love Jesus. That's beautiful common ground that we can begin to have a dialogue from.
888-318-7884, our number, 888-318-7884. Bishop, I hope you will take this in the spirit with which it is intended, but there are dioceses and archdioceses in this world that are bigger than Tyler, Texas.
So you could say that.
So why... how shall I put this? Why not just use the educational materials and methods that the bigger dioceses are developing? Why are you developing your own institute?
Well, as Dr. Stacy already said, I mean, she teed up the answer to this question.
Okay.
We have to speak the language of the people here. In the vernacular of East Texas, that dog don't hunt. Because people don't relate to something that came from, and it may be the most glorious program or material or book that comes from New York or New York City or Los Angeles or Chicago, one of the huge archdioceses. But because we're not a huge archdiocese and we're much less than 10% Catholic, it has to speak to this culture and to these people. What's interesting is most of the Catholics, having both of us grew up here, we're really odd in the sense that most Catholics in East Texas moved in here from someplace where it's more Catholic. Very few. And Dr. Stacy's a convert. I'm the real oddball because I'm a cradle Catholic that grew up in East Texas. There just aren't many. And sadly, that's part of the reason for the Teaching Institute and the Constitution, because the kids that I grew up with that went to this small Catholic church in Atlanta, Texas, where I grew up and went to church there, it's still a small church there in Atlanta, Texas, St. Catherine of Siena. Most of those, almost virtually all of them, are no longer Catholic, because in the 60s and 70s, when I was being taught Catholic faith, the church was doing a pretty crummy job in the vernacular of East Texas. It just wasn't really teaching the beautiful faith and the beautiful truth of the Catholic faith in ways that brought people to life and said, you could kill me before I would give up this faith. People were not given that kind of truth. And it was like, well, they have better things at this church and they have better music at that church. And the youth group is much more lively at the other church. And so we've got to show people the treasure that we have. And that's the reason I believe it had to be something that was created here and focused here by people who know this culture. The people are smart. I'm not saying in any way that we had to dumb it down.
No.
Absolutely not. They have a native intelligence that is very strong. But there isn't the educational community is growing here, but there are many people, and we have some institutions that are doing great work and very proud to crank out graduates every year, and that's the first person in that family that ever graduated from college. And so the institutional academic education is growing and getting stronger, but the native intelligence, God gives us our intelligence, and there's some really smart people here that may not have the language to express it or whatever, but that native intelligence. And I think that's an advantage because, as Dr. Stacy and I have talked about it, the Catholic faith is about knowing how to think and how to think through an issue and how to use logic and philosophical principles. So people that have good, solid intelligence are going to gravitate to that and respond to it.
Texans are no nonsense. You got to just speak the truth plain, because if you put on airs and try to sound fancy, they'll see right through it. So it's kind of raw here. Like you can't pull the wool over anybody's eyes with fancy language. You just got to speak it plain.
Are you saying that I put on airs and I speak fancy? Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Well, you're out there in California.
All right, we'll take a quick break and then we're going to take your calls. A whole bunch of folks on the line, but there is one line open if you want to get in the queue to talk to. Sorry, I said Q. Was that fancy? I didn't mean to use fancy talk. 888-318-7884. Right back with Bishop Joseph Strickland and Dr. Stacy Drasenkos from the Diocese of Tyler, Texas, right after this.
Your questions, Catholic answers, live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Why do we need to pray? Well, the Catholic faith is all about communion with God. And prayer is the form that our communion with God takes. If we're not praying, we're not in communion with God. But we can get in communion with God really quickly by prayer. It's the easiest, quickest, and only route to connect to our Creator. And that's what we're made for. That's why we need to pray.
For a few months, I've really been looking forward to this week because I was going to be in Tyler, Texas, in the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. We were going to do the show there all week, but you can't fly and stay in hotels and do all that stuff now. But we did. We weren't dumb. We got the Bishop and Dr. Stacy scheduled during that time, and we didn't let them go. So they're here to answer your question. The Bishop of Tyler, Texas is Bishop Joseph Strickland. He is our guest and the Executive Director of the St. Philip Institute for Catechesis and Evangelization there in Tyler, Texas is Dr. Stacy Trusenko. Our friend. You know Dr. Stacy. We have her on. You know her because she's a scientist and theologian, and there ain't that many of them. And they are our guests this hour. Thank you both for agreeing to continue to keep this commitment, despite the fact that we didn't keep our commitment to come to Tyler, Texas this week.
It wasn't your fault.
Well, you virtually kept it. So.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough.
We'll hold you to it.
Are you willing to talk to people from Oklahoma? I don't know how it is between Texans and Oklahomans because our next...
Of course. Okay. I have good friends in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
All right, so let's talk to Emmanuel in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You are up first, Emmanuel. Your question for the bishop and the scientist.
Thank you, Bishop and Scientist, for taking my call.
Thank you, Emmanuel.
So I have two questions for you. The first one, how does this world fit into the last days, into the second coming of Christ? Because the Lord Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And why do we pray world without end in our glory be if this world has to end someday? So that question, that's the first one. Then the second question, if Adam and Eve had not sinned, if there was no original sin, will there have been an incarnation? Will Christ have been born on this world to save us? Or, I mean, will Christ have been born at all or to do something else? I don't know.
All right, Emmanuel, you got that heavy Tulsa, Oklahoma accent, but and you snuck in two questions. So let's start with this. We pray in the glory be world without end. Amen. And what Emmanuel's saying is the world is going to end. We believe that Christ is coming again. How do you reconcile those two things?
Well, as the bishop, I'll go first, and then maybe the scientists can correct me in any mistakes I make. But The approach that I would take to Emmanuel's question is, for God, there's really just one world, one existence, one truth, one beautiful universe. We only participate in one aspect of that in the fullest way. We are in touch with the world, the divine world of God through, mainly through the liturgy, through our prayer, through as you go, you know, you look at the profession of faith, it talks about all things visible and invisible. Mm-hmm. I think that when we talk about world without end, the way I would interpret that is we're talking about God's world, which the created concrete, in a sense, the scientific world that is measurable, that is bound to time, that has all these molecules bouncing around, that world will end. But the world of God, which this is part of, and then the fuller world where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit reign from heaven with the Blessed Virgin Mary there. So it's really one world, but I understand Emmanuel's question because we can only clearly see part of that world. Mm-hmm. We can't clearly see that the angels are around us, and especially gathered at the liturgy, the angels, the Blessed Virgin Mary, all the communion of saints, we're plugging into that heavenly world in the Holy Mass in a way that is beyond our ability to really grasp. So it is one world that will never end. A portion of it, what we experience, just like our lives will end in this world, but we believe in the bodily resurrection of us as human beings. Exactly what that means and how it works, I'll let the scientists answer those questions.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, how do we reconcile that? I actually had that same question because as a chemist, I was like, the world will end. Like, what do we mean by world? And that's what Bishop was answering. What do we mean by world? The whole universe, supernatural and natural. But I think it's also important that this idea that the universe, the physical universe, has a beginning and an end, this was one of the Christian concepts that is radically different from any other religion ever. And it was one of the things that the early Christians, up to St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Albert the Great, even until now, it's one of the heresies that we defend against. The world itself, the physical world, is not eternal. Because if the world was eternal, then, you know, we'd be sitting back here again someday an infinite number of times, and you would say everything that could be said, and I would say everything, you know, anything could happen. And there's no free will. It's contrary to the idea that we have free will and we're charting our own course through this life towards the end of our life. So the eternal world is the kingdom of God, that supernatural. And so what it means is that we don't just see the physical world as all there is. We see the total system of reality, the physical and the supernatural together.
Well, and then Emmanuel's second question had to do with, would the Lord have become incarnate had Adam and Eve not sinned?
Well, we don't know. That's one of those things that, you know, I always tell people, especially my kids, put things into three buckets. Things you do know, things you don't know, and things you need to think about a little more. And so this is one of those things I would put squarely in the bucket of things we don't know, because we'll never know that answer. And like, you could speculate all you want, but why? Like, what's it going to do to speculate about that? Adam and Eve did sin. We are here now. This was God's plan. And so I think you could say God didn't have any other plan. So,
yeah. And I like Emmanuel's question because it really starts to highlight what our reality is. Sin is very real in my life, in our lives, and Adam and Eve, our first parents, sinned, used their free will wrongly. I mean, that's what sin is. God has given us free will, and we use it incorrectly when we go against his divine will, because ultimately that diminishes us, even when we think that taking that piece of candy that isn't mine and that it doesn't belong to me, but it sure looks good, that diminishes us a lot of times in very minuscule ways, sometimes in tragically dramatic ways. But sin that Adam and Eve, and theirs was pretty dramatic, it separated them from God's plan and God's will. As Dr. Stacy said, we can speculate about what would the world, and I think we probably all people of faith have thought about that. What would the world be like if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned? And I guess my thought has always been, well, somebody would have blown it along the way. If they had managed to live out their lives and stay faithful, someone would have messed it up before I came around. You know,
money's on Cain.
Nature.
I think it would have been Cain.
Emmanuel, that's a good question, Emmanuel.
Thank you, Emmanuel. Every single line full, so I'm going to keep moving. I hope that was helpful to you, Emmanuel. We're going to head down to Colombia now. Juan is watching on YouTube in Colombia. Juan, your question for Bishop Joseph Strickland and Dr. Stacy Trusenkos.
Hello. Thank you for answering my call. I have two very simple questions. The first one is about the second coming of Christ, because I've researched and I found all these scientific predictions of how the universe will end, like the heat death of the universe and things like that. So how do we know Christ will come a second time and that the universe will not end in a similar way to what scientists are predicting.
Juan, I'm going to let them answer that first. The connection is a little rough, so I'm just going to repeat that real quickly. Let them answer that, and then we'll come back for your second question. Apparently, everybody's doing two questions today, because I guess because we got
well,
two guests.
Well, they say they have assigned as yes. a bishop.
So the
question is, Juan's talking about the scientific view that the universe will end with heat death, or I suppose with a complete entropy. Those are possibilities. So how does that comport with the view that Christ will come again?
Well, it means Christ better hurry up or he's going to run out of time.
Well, he's got 100 billion years.
Right. Yeah, I know. So I think so I look at science like this one. When we study the handiwork of God, which is what I call science, the study of the handiwork of God, we're figuring out how his universe works. And so these scientific predictions that are far out in the future, those are not so well known, but I think if Christ is going to come again, he'll come before the physical world ends.
Okay, Stacey, I'm sorry. We got to hang on. We'll continue with our answer for Juan when we come back because the music's playing. We got to take a break. Two great guests. You can ask them whatever you want. Bishop Joseph Strickland and Dr. Stacey Trusenkos of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. Right back after this.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Sai. A brand new episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, is now available. Check it out at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This week, we talk with Tim Staples about what the earliest Christians believed about the Eucharist. How did the Church of the Apostles make sense of the Lord's commandment to eat his body and drink his blood? And are those early beliefs still held by the Church today? Check out this week's conversation with Tim Staples and get access to past episodes at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Feeling uninspired?
Join us tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie to hear the heroic stories from people across the world.
We want to hear your good news. That's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Time.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Juan in Colombia is on the line. Juan's watching on YouTube. And I'm sorry I had to interrupt you in the middle of answering Juan's first question, which was, how can we fit the idea that there is a second coming of Christ in with the science that says the universe will end on its own at some point? And so did you want to just continue your answer, Dr. Trusenkos?
Yeah, my answer is basically that, you know, in God's plan, I'm sure Christ will come. God would know when the universe is going to end physically. He would know whether our predictions are even correct or not. So I'm sure Christ will come before that. Did you want to?
Well, I think that my thought is absolutely we know by divine revelation that Christ will come again. That is our faith, that the end of the human story will be Christ's return. I guess my perspective, and I certainly could stand corrected by the scientists, to me it kind of goes back to how did it all begin? And as I understand the scientific beginnings of things, people weren't necessarily part of that whole story. So the human story, the pinnacle of creation that we are, created in God's image, may come to an end with Christ gloriously reigning, and then this material world will just sort of fizzle out or blow up or whatever later on. To me, that's one way of looking at it, is our history, our salvation history, is tied to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But, you know, the world could continue as an empty wasteland like it started as after the human story has already been completed. We're all in heaven and really not too concerned about what's happening to all these molecules that used to be our home.
Juan, we did have a tough connection with you there in Colombia. So your second question, if you could just state it quickly, I'll transmit it to Dr. Stacy and Bishop Joseph Strickland.
Okay, thank you very much. So I've heard all these kind of crazy theories about the multiverse and things like that. So as a Catholic who doesn't know much about, well, all those deep mysteries of science, how can I debate atheists that will have much more knowledge in science and physics and all of those things?
Yeah, I want to know about the multiverse too. So Juan's saying he's not very well versed in the science, the physics of, say, multiverses and that kind of thing. And this is the kind of thing that atheists bring up when you're discussing God. So what's his strategy for dealing with that?
There's a simple way out of it. It's why I came up with that one-liner, that science is the study of the handiwork of God. So really, when atheists know so much about science, what they know so much about is the handiwork of God. And so I think in their own ways, they're searching for truth in the only way they know how. So I always tell people, jump right into the science and learn from the atheists where you can, and lead them to that big question about who do you think made all this? You know, who created this? This is superhuman intelligence here that us humans have but a prayer of understanding, which is why we have all these theories like the multiverse. As for the multiverse, there's a number of interpretations of it, but if you mean by multiverse that an infinite number of scenarios could play out and we just happen to be in this one, you're kind of right back to where the ancient pagan Greeks were and other cultures too, other religions. The thing that Catholicism rejects is that the world is eternally cycling, because if the world is truly eternally cycling, or if there are truly an infinite number of scenarios that we could play out, then nobody really has free will. I always tell the free thinkers, you can't think freely if you don't have free will.
I feel like it's almost cheating in a way to do that multiverse thing, because there's no actual scientific evidence of this infinite multi-universe. It's just a way of saying, well, it could be that, so I don't have to believe in God.
Yeah.
And I always say, don't be worried about it. Let scientists study their theories, because every time they study the theories, just like that we used to think that universe was the steady state, an infinite steady state that's expanding. We now think of it as a big bang with a beginning. Let the scientists explore their theories, because they're going to find the truth.
And I think an important aspect of that is revealed to us in sacred scripture. If we really pay attention, I mean, this week of the octave of Easter, the full 8 days of celebrating the day of the resurrection of the Lord, if we read those scripture passages of his resurrection appearances, it sounds kind of multiversey. I mean, he's walking through walls. He's not a phantasm. He's not a ghost. He's eating breakfast with them, but he's also disappearing in an instant. I think that the resurrected Christ, and to understand how is he a physical being, but also able to just vanish and reappear somewhere and walk through walls, literally. The door's locked and he shows up there. To me, that is a reminder, even from Scripture, that there are mysteries that we don't understand. And it's interesting to me, as I've worked with Dr. Stacy, what I think we need to acknowledge is I've always loved science and I've always liked to study science just sort of as a hobby. But ultimately, the scientists run up into mystery the way we do as theologians. God has revealed to us what we need to know for our salvation. Even the scriptures say there's much more then it could fill volumes of books of what we could know. But what we need to know for our salvation, God has revealed through his Son. And so the multiverse or whatever scientific theory is ultimately is a scientist's way of saying we don't really have hard evidence. It's a mystery. And this is one theory of how that mystery works. So I think what's interesting is as human beings with science and with faith, we basically kind of end up in the same place. There's a lot we don't know,
Humble. A
lot we don't understand. We do have amazing knowledge of things that we didn't a couple hundred years ago, even 100 years ago. But there's still, and it's like, you know, I know there's been this effort to have the answer to everything. And they haven't gotten there because the scientists keep running into deeper mysteries the further along they go.
And this is actually something that kind of unites us in a way. I remember this, I think it comes from Introduction to Christianity, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, then Bishop, Pope Benedict, saying this is something that the Christian and the atheist should share together, that in most things we say, I don't know.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines is So speaking about the multiverse and the cosmos that's far away out there, let's talk about biochemistry, which is right here happening in our own bodies. In my college biochemistry textbook written by Voit and Voit, it was a husband and wife team. It's one of the most popular college biochemistry textbooks. The very first chapter, it says a line I never forgot. It said, we know a lot about science and chemistry and how the body works, but our knowledge is dwarfed by our ignorance.
Wrong. Yeah, right.
That is a great line.
Yeah, we should put that on the wall here at Catholic Answers because our knowledge is dwarfed by
our. Yes, yeah.
Our guests.
I mean that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stacey. Our guests are Dr. Stacey Trusankos, the director of the St. Philip Institute for Catechesis and Evangelization in the Diocese of Tyler, Texas, and the founder of that institute and the bishop of that diocese, Bishop Joseph Strickland. Bishop and scientist, first of all, let me say thank you, Juan, for the call. I do appreciate it. But I'm joined in the studio we'll see if we can do a four-way conversation here. Our director, our boss, the president of Catholic Answers, Chris Check. Hey, Chris.
Thank you, Cy. Excellency, what an honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much. And Stacey, good to see you as well. I'm really jealous.
Chris.
I'm jealous of your studio. I'm seeing this for the first time. You guys have a great shot there.
Yeah, they're doing a great job. I call them Team Fantastic.
Yeah,
they're doing a great job.
If any of our radio or podcast listeners, go to Catholic.com right now. And by the way, Zach and Brandon did a superb job setting up a picture-in-picture shot there. Good job, guys. But you guys have a really first-rate studio. I'm kind of sort of jealous of their studio. Sorry.
Well, I don't want to say that right in front of the video guys who make us look so good every day. You know, they look hurt in there.
But we have, I think some people know, but wonderful, wonderful news that Bishop Joseph Strickland is the leadoff speaker for our conference at the end of September.
You coming out here, Bishop?
Well, hopefully. Well, that's the plan.
It is.
We'll hopefully be beyond virtual at that point.
And we're going to put you on a surfboard, Excellency.
Okay.
Well, what are we going to put the surfboard on?
That's right. Yeah.
Bishop, what do you think of our theme? We decided to take Jesus as our theme this year.
Who do you say that I am?
That is the theme. That is perfect. We're in the midst of the year of the Eucharist here, and that's him. So who do you say that he is? I think that's an exciting focus that we all need to answer that question from our own heart and as the people of the church and of the world today. Who do we say Jesus Christ is?
As my brother says, the most important question ever asked. And Excellency, you're in fact going to speak to this very question that you're bringing up right now. I think the title for your talk is He is With Us.
Yes.
So on that...
You know, I assume that's a Eucharistic
talk.
Yeah,
exactly.
I would assume that's
Absolutely. And I think that has just become such a focus in my ministry as a bishop. really, that's the reason I said, let's focus on this year of the Eucharist. And the irony of that, many people in the diocese have mentioned to me, is like, Bishop, did you cause this? You called for a year of the Eucharist, and then we're not going to Mass. And we're not receiving the Eucharist. But I think it is very seriously an opportunity to really stop and ask ourselves, as Catholics. I'm a cradle Catholic who was taught from my earliest memory that what happens at Mass is glorious and it is life-changing, and really it is Jesus Christ becoming present there. And to lose that, and sadly we've lost too much of it in the Catholic faith. Too many people are on the fence or on the other side and saying, oh no, it's just a symbol like the other Christians say. The answer is no, he really is with us. And thankfully, I can speak to prayer in the presence of his Eucharistic face that, I mean, I was there this afternoon. And honestly, what I'm doing as a bishop, it's like I need to get out of the way and let him work through me. And that, I mean, that's been the theme of my life. And that, I really believe that is the mystery of the church, that many of the saints of old, if you study some of the great saints through the centuries, they had this understanding, this relationship with Jesus Christ through his Eucharistic presence that every priest and really all of the priestly people are called to. And we need to enliven that again. He's still there. He's not gone, but we need to really emphasize and increase the reverence and make the focus of every Eucharistic liturgy, every Mass, is a joyful welcoming once again of the real presence. He's really here.
And of course, Excellency, you've been an inspiration to Catholics all over the country there, standing at the intersection, holding up Jesus for all the faithful to see. Stacy, you have spoken at our conference, so you can tell His Excellency and also all of our listeners what a great giant Catholic party the Catholic Answers Conference is.
It's so well put on. I mean, the hotel is beautiful. The accommodations are beautiful. It's kind of like a vacation, but it's a vacation where it's like being in heaven because you're surrounded.
Oh, I love it.
Wait, we got to record that. Yes, press record.
Put that on the marketing material. The Catholic
Answers Conference, it's like being in heaven.
I love it. All right.
It is because you're in communion with people. I mean, I saw people that I had known through the internet, you know, spiritually, so to speak. I saw them face to face, and there was the spirit of communion, and we're all in this together, and we're going to put aside all the things happening in the world, and we're just going to celebrate our faith for this extended weekend.
So, Sai, if I want to feel like I'm in heaven at the end of September, how do I find out information about this?
Just go to CatholicAnswersConference.com. I can tell you right now, book your flights because they've got great deals, and should anything happen that you can't make it, well, you can just rebook that flight for another time because all the airlines have all those special accommodations for people right now. But if you go to Catholic Answers Conference right now, you get early bird pricing. You just put in the promo code EARLY, EARLY.
Save $30.
And you get $30 off an already really not very expensive
conference. No, we lose money.
Yeah, and then you get the special room rate of $160 a night. Paul Gondreau is going to be there, one of the great Catholic writers of our time and thinkers. Anthony Esselin's going to be there. And now that I've said Paul Gondreau is one of the greats, what do you say about Anthony?
He's one of the great Catholic speakers.
Yeah, he's Bishop Joseph Strickland, one of our great Catholic bishops. Father Paul Cech will be there. And Sister Maristella from the... Sisters of Life. I don't know if you know the Sisters of Life, Bishop. I don't know if you know Sister Maristella, but you are going to love this woman and these wonderful women from the Sisters of Life.
And they always travel in pairs because Jesus said travel in pairs. So we'll actually get two of them. The Sisters of Life, they always travel in pairs.
Right, I think they carry a shotgun too.
Well, they've updated, you know, carry your staff or whatever.
Yeah, right.
They've updated
right. It's just a wonderful, plus our own Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, we're going to do the show there live. Chris, you're going to be there. Carlo Broussard will be there.
And it's all hosted by the world's best master of ceremonies, Cy Kellett.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Could you get a recording of that as well? And organized by the greatest organizer of Catholic events in our own Erica.
I thought you were going to give me credit for organizing the conference. It's actually Erica who does. I just said,
sorry.
Erica,
I meant you.
I said, throw the best Catholic party you can. And she does every year.
It is a great Catholic party, and it's going to be wonderful. We're going to start it off with Bishop Joseph Strickland.
Amen. CatholicAnswersConference.com.
CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I'm really a revert. There are a lot of converts on Catholic radio, a lot of reverts, those who have come back to the faith. And ever since I came back to a practice of my faith, I started praying the rosary, going to even daily mass, God has led me on an amazing journey and used me in a lot of incredible ways that I never dreamed would have been possible.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, tonight, midnight Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guests today, Bishop Joseph Strickland of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas, and the director of his institute, St. Philip's Institute for Catechesis and Evangelization, Dr. Stacy Trusenkos, are our guests. And you're welcome to call with any question you've got for him, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And now that I missed my chance to come in April to Texas, apparently I'm coming there in August. So it's nice in August there, right? Like, I'm going to feel nice and comfortable in
nice
August.
Nice and warm. Nice and warm.
You say warm, but I don't think warm is the word for it. I think
oh,
you're
hot. It's hot. Plain old hot.
Hot.
Well, all right. We're going to try to get there in August, though. So I hope I'll get to see you both there. Up next, a caller from Maryland watching on YouTube, Tenna, calling from Maryland. Tenna, your question for Bishop Strickland and for Dr. Stacy Trusenkos.
Hello. I'm going to sneak in two questions, too. But
oh, come on.
So the first one is, did the church fathers teach the Protestant faith? And the second one is, I know there's a verse in Scripture that talks about if they do not heed your words, then shake the dust off your feet and leave the town. So the question I have with that is, at what point do you stop evangelizing someone if they're not going to listen to you?
All right, let's start with the church fathers, and I'm going to go to you on that, Bishop, because that's your area. Was it a simplified Christianity that's like modern contemporary Protestantism that was taught in the early church?
I would say absolutely not. The early church fathers really wondrously, I would put it this way. I think you see the seeds of everything Catholic in the early church fathers. I mean, they talk about the Mass, the liturgy. They talk about the Eucharist. They talk about the role of bishops. They talk about bishop, priest, deacon. I really honestly wasn't real clear about what the question was asking, but because Protestant as a word and as a phenomenon didn't exist until 500 years ago, with the Martin Luther, and as we all know, all of that Protestant Reformation. So Christianity was one basic body. If you were in the year 1000, of course, you know, there are other divisions between East and West, but as far as the basic teachings, because even when you get to the division in about the year 1000 with the East and the Western Church, the basic teachings are the same. It's more the organizational hierarchy and a lot to do with the papacy, that where there were differences of opinion in the Eastern patriarchs versus the Roman papacy. But going back to the early church fathers, if you read those writings, many people that have not been Catholic have gone back to read that and have really discovered that a lot of the Protestant approach was a departure from those earliest roots of the Catholic Church. So I guess that I would say, as I said, absolutely, the early church fathers were Catholic, were a universal Christian message that still resonates in the Roman Catholic Church today. The Protestant ideas of things like, I mean, if you go back to the early church fathers and you're researching the real presence, do we believe that Jesus meant it when he said, "This bread is my body, this wine is my blood"? The early church fathers say, absolutely. There wasn't some, you know, I mean, and certainly there were questions and they were really clarifying a lot of things. But as far as the basic message of the early church fathers, it was very real presence Eucharist, that Jesus really meant it. And as the caller, I believe, alluded to, you know, in that image of shaking the dust from your feet, with the Eucharist specifically, we know that the Gospels say, as Jesus really made it very clear, you must eat my body and drink my blood in order to have life in you. People walked away and said, this is crazy. I'm not going any further. And Jesus didn't try to apologize. He didn't try to change it. He didn't say, oh, I didn't really mean that. Come back. He said, well, you're free to leave. And I guess that gets to the other part of the question. I think we do reach a point where we leave it to God. I mean, we're called to be witnesses to the gospel and to go out joyfully sharing the truth, just like the original disciples. But that whole image of shaking the dust from your feet, to me, expresses that God's not going to force anyone. It's not some sort of indoctrination. It's a sharing of a revealed truth, the kerygma of our faith, that Jesus lived with us, suffered, died, and rose. And sharing that good news, thankfully, many people are enlivened by it, embrace it. But if they don't, the Lord doesn't force us, and certainly we don't force anyone to embrace the Christian faith, much less the Catholic faith.
I get this question a lot from my kids. I have four teenage daughters. I have seven children total, and my youngest is nine. So all my kids are old enough to ask some very hard questions. And we get the, when is it time to wipe the dust off my feet question a lot. My daughters have friends who are atheists. I mean, I've taught them, don't be afraid to befriend anyone. But like the pop psychology teaches us, which I love, the boundaries. You have to put up your boundary and let the good in and keep the bad out. So you've got to be confident enough in your faith to say, this is our Catholic faith, and I'm your friend, and I respect you, and I'll answer your questions. But if they start ridiculing you, or if they make it clear they're just out to hurt you, walk away and don't let them in your fence. But as long as they're willing to be your friend, that's how, I mean, we're supposed to get to know and be known, to love and be loved. That's very Trinitarian. And all humans are children of God, and God loves them. And so, like I say to my kids, you've got to love your friend and listen to her, get to know her, understand what's going on, why she says the things she says, speak up, stand up for the truth, but be kind, but also protect yourself. If there's no return in the relationship and it's just all about hurting you for your Catholic beliefs, which my kids get a lot, know when to walk away and say, I can't be around you when you're treating me this way. That's the shaking the dust off your feet. It's not working anymore. You're just doing damage.
Okay, Tenna.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Oh, we have two guests today, Bishop Joseph Strickland from the Diocese of Tyler, Texas, who will be the first speaker. They'll open the conference for us this September when we do our Catholic Answers Conference here in San Diego, September 24th through 27th. And we have a lot of confidence that that is going to happen. I think it's a founded hope. Let's put it that way. There's every reason to believe that we'll be able to
have
gather
faith.
in September. And also our other guest this hour works for Bishop Strickland. So don't ask her to say anything bad about him. That's not going to happen. It's Dr. Stacy Trusenko, scientist and theologian and the executive director of the St. Philip Institute there in Tyler, Texas for catechesis and evangelization. Listen, a lot of your second-rate Catholic shows, they'll get you a bishop. Maybe they'll get you a scientist. This is a first-rate Catholic show. We'll give you a bishop and a scientist 2 hours straight, and you get to ask them anything you want. Listen, those folks on the line, just stay on the line. I'm sorry. I know we've moved a little bit slowly. There's been a lot of business to take care of, a lot of voices to be heard the first hour, and everybody tried to ask two questions. So we're going to keep it to one question second hour, and we're going to get your questions in. Michael in Cincinnati, hang on. We're going to get to you first when we come back. And if you haven't dialed yet and you want to talk to Bishop Strickland and Dr. Stacy, 888-318-7884.